share on the life of the Divrei Chaim. We'll begin to learn his Torahs, but I think that we're going to begin after Yontif, simply because I have Chasnas the next 2 Mondays, Baruch Hashem, and then it's the week of Pesach. So we're going to so this will end with his life now, and the Mishnah after Yontif we'll begin to learn Torahs in the Divrei Chaim. It's a tonight is Chaf Aleph Adar. I think I'm pretty sure it's Chaf Aleph. So that's the Yotzat of the Rebbe of Melech from Lazenz, the Rebbe Le Melech. And it's very fitting that tonight's going to be, as I mentioned last time, tonight's going to be devoted entirely to the union of going through some stories of the life of Rebbe Chaim. Until now, we were going through the biography. I think, besides perhaps the Rebbe Elimelech and the Chayzer of Lublin, there's no other tzaddik regarding whom we have so many stories as we have from the Divrei Chaim. As what I told you in the beginning, his life, the Santa Rav's life, was very carefully chronicled, since he had a large family, and the family that consisted of great Talmid Chacham, great tzaddikim in their own right, and things were carefully chronicled, and he had a huge following of chassidim throughout Poland, Galicia, and Hungary. Therefore, I decided that even though I normally, in these shiurim, I really don't say over so many ma'isim. Every now and then there's a ma'isa, but I thought that taking into consideration the following that you're going to hear from the Divrei Chaim in a minute, so I think that to have an overall sense of who the Divrei Chaim, again, I can't say who he was, but there was something unusual in the Divrei Chaim's use of miracles as well, and therefore I decided that I would tell some of these ma'isim as they're recorded. And they're collected together in a very chashuv sefer that came out quite a few years ago, Rav Yosef David Weisberg. So to go through some of the better known stories, some ma'isim, and it'll keep us awake, Mr. Shem, through Yantiv, and we'll be able to continue with some of the Torahs of the Divrei Chaim. The question of ma'isim in general, the Divrei Chaim, it's very interesting. We find stories of the Sanzer of himself, as we'll see, ridiculing and mocking, and almost mocking the chassidim for believing every story. On the other hand, the Divrei Chaim himself, as the tzaddikim said it, by the Divrei Chaim there are miracles that were rolling under the table. There were so many ma'isim, there were so many miraculous things that were taking place by the Divrei Chaim. So we have the following quote. He said once, "Atam chassidim, the chassidim." He says, really, you don't need, this is the way it's brought down, Einchem Tzrichim L'Maifes Kem Tzoy La'Karas Abayrei. He says, the Hasidim don't need miracles in order to believe in God. It's not for you, the miracles. He says, however, Kasha is a Deitch, Ms. Domine Elena. The word Deitch literally means a Yekke, a German Jew. But the word Deitch was meant as somebody more modern, right? Somebody more secular. So he says, however, when a Deitch is Mizdamin Eleinu, that when a more modern Jew, a more secular Jew comes here, Ubushuva, Lebesa, Mefarsim, also Kira, Eza, Moifes, Ezel HaRebi, and when he goes back to his hometown, which that's filled with skeptical Jews who don't believe in that there's such a thing that miracles can be performed by tzaddikim, so when this more modern fellow goes back to his hometown and he reports what he saw by the Rebbe, so as Mizgadlu, Mizkadish, Shmayiz, Baruch, Manan, that the name of Hashem becomes glorified amongst them. Umayfis kazeh bevadai shekedai laharos. And this type of a miracle is certainly worth demonstrating, is worth showing. Therefore, of the miracles that we have, of miracles from the Divrei Chaim, the stories of miracles, we have thousands. And that probably is only a tipa shabiyam, a drop in the ocean. A drop in the ocean that they're probably in the last few hundred years, open Ruach HaKodesh, as we'll see in a few minutes, clear, open Ruach HaKodesh was not seen by any other tzaddik to that degree as it was seen by the Divrei Chaim, maybe by the Baal Shem HaKodesh in such a way. There are many stories about other tzaddikim, but you'll see the type of Ruach HaKodesh and the way that he used the Ruach HaKodesh was something which is entirely new. And therefore, I decided we'd spend one night going through a little bit of this, to get a better feeling for it. In general, he tried to hide the miracles. He would hide the miracles. There's, as I mentioned last week, Rabbi Chaim was very much involved in trying to help women out help women who were agunas, to help women who did not have, were not able to remarry because the status of their husband was unclear. They were killed, they were missing, it wasn't clear. So the Divrei Chaim worked very hard, halachically, to free these women, to find a way, al pi halacha, according to halacha, that they could remarry. Very often, the Divrei Chaim would use his Ruach HaKodesh. There are literally hundreds and hundreds of stories that are documented from different Rabbanim and Tzaddikim, where the Divrei Chaim would tell the woman where to go to a certain town, and there she would discover some distant little village. She would find out where her husband, who had run away, where the husband was, and would be able to get a get. It's told that even here he tried to conceal this as much as possible. And one time there was a certain guna that he sent, a woman like this, that he sent to a very big posek in Hungary by the name of a Baron David Deitch. And he sent this woman to this posek, and this was a woman whose husband was missing and hadn't given her a divorce. And the Divrei Chaim sent her to this posek. It was quite a distance away. And when she came to that town, right when she got off the wagon, she saw her good-for-nothing, her tzaddik over there walking in that town, which was far away from her hometown. And so her husband had run to that place. So she started screaming in there, and people came and they grabbed him, was all nice. And they brought him to the Rav, and they told him, what are you doing, and so on, and he gave a get. So everybody was talking about this. It was unbelievable. It's unbelievable maise. And the Divrei Chaim himself said, believe me, I just sent him because I thought that Rav would have a good idea in halacha how to deal with her. He's a big Talmud Chacham. I never imagined in my wildest dreams that the husband would actually be in that town. Nobody believed that. There were other great poskim in between sons and that place. And Divrei Chaim was the Gadol Hador. He didn't have to send his tshuva. He didn't have to send his shaila to another Gadol. And he would always do it in such a way. Whenever he was helping people, he would always try to hide it in a way that it was not as miraculous as it would seem. There are many stories of Gedolim that wanted to go meet him, to go see him. Great people came from faraway places, such as Russia. Do you remember in those days they didn't have pictures or anything? No one knew how he looked, and he didn't know how anybody else looked. That would come. Rabbanim would come from Russia, and they would come to the. This was happening almost every Shabbos. There were visitors that were coming there by the thousands, and amongst them were great rabbis, great Rabbanim, who did not want to stand out, and they just went as simple people to go and to be able to enjoy being in sons. And when they would walk in, the sons of Rav would stand up and say, Baruch HaBar, Rav so and so. This was happening every Shabbos. He would call the Rav by his name. And even though there was nobody there that knew who that Rav was, that knew because he was dressed as a simple person, this was something that was going on. These were Maisim Echal Yom. That he was able to see things that were happening in the world in different places. For instance, it's told that this would very often happen by Kiddush. That when he would, that after he would say Shalom Aleichem, and he would prepare, and he would stand there with a cup before he would say Kiddush. Very often he would say things that were happening. One time he said that in the town of Radomishla, there was a fire that broke out. And while he was standing with the Kiddush, he was reporting things that he was seeing all over the world. And this was come out every Friday night. There were things like this that he would say when he stood there with the becher, with the Kiddush cup, things that he saw taking place. And this was not something that was reported by individuals. These were hundreds and thousands of people over the years has seen such remarkable things. Mostly, as I told you last week, mostly Reb Chaim used his powers to help the poor, the downtrodden, the sick. Those who were going through terrible tsaros, I told you that every single day thousands and thousands of people were lined up to see him. And it's here where his koyach as a bal moifes was absolutely beyond anything that we could possibly imagine. Nevertheless, even though these people, when I'm saying poor people that didn't have a parnasi, he would send them to a certain place, and over there they would meet someone. And we have stories and stories like this. The person would meet somebody who would give him a job, or this person was sick, and the Divrei Chaim sent him to a certain place, and it happened that a doctor was passing through that town, and it was the only doctor that knew that sickness. And these are things that were going on all the time. Nevertheless, again, another thing, the Divrei Chaim himself said the following. It's brought down by his closest servant, Rebbe Feil. That we have a lot of the most authentic stories that we have come from this Rebbe Feil, who was with the Divrei Chaim till the death of the Divrei Chaim. The Divrei Chaim trusted him more than any of his other shamoshim. This Rebbe Feil, And Rabbi Fol wrote a sefer called Darkei Chaim. And there he said that the Rebbe once said, "Kishachasid oimer beinai reisi." The Rebbe Chaim, the Divrei Chaim said that if you hear a chassid saying, "I saw this with my own eyes," it means yitachein shashama. It could be he heard that thing. If a chassid says, "I saw this with my own eyes," so the Divrei Chaim says, "Maybe he heard it." But if you hear a chassid that says, "I heard this ma'isa, I heard it," so he says, "Ozla hayahadover v'lo niver, never happened, never was in the world such a thing." So he himself, you see, at the same time that he was such a big balmaifis, he was always belittling it and making like a small thing, but he felt apparently he had to do these things in order to help the thousands of people who came to him had no other way of being helped. Once it happened, I'm just going to tell a lot of ma'isim. Once it happened on the night of Rosh Hashanah, when we say L'David Mizmor L'Hashem Haratzim Lo, we open up the Aron Kodesh L'David Mizmor right at the end of Marv. I don't know the Svaradim do that. So last Gazim we said L'David Mizmor at the end of Marv, and L'Hashem Haratzim Tevil V'Yeshveva. It's a very, very powerful time to daven. And it was 1 year when the Divrei Chaim said this very quickly. He was davening for the Omer, and he said L'David L'Hashem Haratzim Lo. He didn't. Usually it was a 15-20 minute thing with great feeling, with great emotion and crying. And 1 year he just said L'dov B'Lashem Moshe. He raced through it. So when it happened, you know, everybody was very shocked. It didn't seem Rosh Hashanah Yontif Dik. But that year, in the entire Poland and Galicia, the Jews never had such wealth and such good fortune. And there were many bad decrees from the government that were canceled. It was a gewaldig year. It was the best year. So there was and many, many women that couldn't have children had children, and there were shidduchim and chasanas and very, very few miscarriages. It was the best year that anybody in the whole Poland Galicia could remember ever. So the Mekubalim were saying that it had to do with that, the David Mizmer, because there is apparently some connection, we'll see in a minute, between the David Mizmer and how the year is going to go. So it was an unusual David Mizmer. And what happened was that the following Rosh Hashanah, so thousands of more people came there from Arav, and the whole place was going crazy. And but this time he said the regular David, he said slow. But after he said the David, after Arav, all sick people with tzoros who needed shidduchim and who needed money, they started pushing till they mamish almost broke down the walls of the place to try to get, because they figured that last year they heard that was the time. So they all trying to chap, you know, a bracha by Divrei Chaim. And the Divrei Chaim told them the following. He said, in the days of the Arizal, listen to what the Divrei Chaim said. In the days of the Ari HaKadosh, the students of the Ari and the Ari did not want to spend the entire year, throughout the year, davening for physical things. They wanted to focus on spiritual things. They didn't want to have to daven for physical things. So the Ari HaKadosh revealed to them at that time that if you put in a lot of Kavana, a lot of very, very intense thought, and you work hard. When you say Rosh Hashanah L'David Mizmer, then physically you're covered for the whole year. You don't have to worry about the you don't have to daven hard. The rest of the year, you just say, you don't have to go into all the kavanas. If by L'David Mizmer, by that tefillah, you put all your kaiches and api kabbal and everything, so it's going to take care of the entire year. So the Arizal, the Divrei Chaim says, the Arizal taught these kavanas that would last for the whole year. But then the Divrei Chaim went on to say that as long as this secret and the secret kavan, as long as this was kept a secret, so it had the ability, there were others that also had the ability to use this L'David Mizmer. Once the secret began to become revealed, it became almost impossible in later years to use this. He says, however, last year I saw that it was an opportunity, I felt it was an opening, and therefore I tried to quickly go through L'David Mizmer without kavana, without thought, from the Arizal, and I was able to help. But now that this became a whole public thing, and everybody knows about it, and everybody's talking about it, so I'm sorry, get out of here, you know, you can leave, because I can't help you, it's not going to work anymore. That was last year. There's a famous thing, I'm not sure if it happened at Rosh Hashanah, but it happened one of the times when the Divrei Chaim was sending somebody away. There was a woman that came, and I don't know what the request was, but she had a very, very terrible problem. She needed a big yeshua. She needed some help. And when she came to Divrei Chaim, so Divrei Chaim said, listen, you have to kaidim call. He obviously saw that she was a very plain woman. And Divrei Chaim said, you have to have emunah tzaddikim, you think. You have to first have strong belief You have to have strong belief in the tzaddik. You have to have strong belief in Hashem. You can't just write him like this. What do you think? It's a miracle. So the woman said, in all due respect, Rabbi, I disagree. So the Vicham says, what do you mean you disagree? She says, I don't know. She says, we say in davening every day, in Vayosha Hashem b'yomahu. So it says Vayosha. First it says Hashem saved them. And then it says Vayaminu b'Hashem b'mayshav them. And then it says they believed in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu. So if you'll bring me, you'll give me a Yeshua, bring me a salvation, then I'll believe in you and I'll believe in the Rabbeinu, it'll be fine. So the Vicham used to say that never in my life was I ever defeated in such a way. Never was I so defeated as by that woman. And he said, you're right. And he smiled. And he gave her bracha, and she had a yeshua immediately after that. She had a yeshua. That because she to say such a thing, kaidem kol vayayisha, and then vayaminu. So that's that's the Divrei Chaim. Was the time that he was defeated. It wasn't only simple people that came. For instance, there's a tshuva from the Chedusha Harim. Everybody heard of the Gerei Rebbe. The Chedusha Harim was one of the greatest geniuses and poskim of the generation. So the Divrei Chaim had a in his tshuvas, there was a very complicated question regarding a man who did not have any children, and he was married to this woman. It was a question whether they should get a divorce, whether they need to divorce, and to marry somebody else. It was a whole question of halacha, and it was very complicated. But the Chiddushim says, but he wrote to the Divrei Chaim, but the truth of the matter is, if you would just daven and they'll have children, then we don't have to get involved in this shayla. And since he wrote to the Divrei Chaim, why don't you just daven, Rabbi? Daven for this man, and gave the name. Daven for him and for the wife, gave the name. They'll have children, and then we don't have to get involved in the whole shayla of how to handle the situation. Better they should have children. That all the gedolim of the generation held him to be a tremendous Baal Maifas. There was a Maisi Shahaya, a story happened, that one of the residents of Tzanz had a little bit too much to drink. And it was Erev Shabbos, and he went to the mikveh, and he had a terrible accident. He fell down on a hard stone floor by the steps or something, and he was seriously hurt. And the doctor said that there's no hope to save him. He's going to die. So they went. This is right by Shabbos. They went. The family went crying to the sons thereof that he should to daven. And the sons thereof said, "Mitzvah will be okay." And then Friday night, that night, by the table, so the people who were there saw that the Divrei Chaim is concentrating very, very hard. And every few minutes, he was sending somebody, one of the chassidim, go to the house, go to so and so's house and see how he's feeling. And they would come back and they said that he's not doing better. So the Divrei Chaim said the following. There were many people that were there. The Divrei Chaim said, "It says in the Gemara Makkos that a Sanhedrin." If the great court would have a Jew executed once in 7 years, it was considered to be a chevlonis. It was considered to be a violent court. So Divrei Chaim said that just last week there was a Jew in Sanz that was run over by wagon, horse and wagon had gotten out of control, and there was a Jew that was killed. So Sanz Rav said, if the Gemara tells us that a Bezna killed once in 7 years is already a violent, if it executed somebody once in 7 years, it was 70, I'm sorry, once in 70 years is a violent court, right? Once in 70 it's a chavlanis. So then, if that's the case, then how much more so? Rabbi Yishlom, there was a Jew that was just killed in Sanz last week, and now you're going to let this, and now you're going to let the, then it's even worse than a Bezdin, than a Sanhedrin chavlanis. So then he sent the bracha to go see how the person was doing, and that's when the person's condition changed, and he began to have a refuah. There was a meister with another meister, there was a certain bocher that came from a city called Isterik. And this bocher had typhus, he was sick with typhus, and reached the point that he became completely dumb. He couldn't speak anymore, he became an Elam. He lost his ability to speak from the sickness, which was not uncommon in those days. So there were a group of Hasidim that took him from his city of Isterik and took him to Sanz to get a bocher. And he went to the Sanz Rav, and the Sanz Rav gave him a bracha, and he went back home. Two weeks later, somebody came from Istrik with the good news, that a miracle happened, and that fellow who couldn't speak, the bacha who couldn't speak, had a complete yeshua refuah, and he was talking like any normal person, and it was seen as a gewaldige Maifis. When they went, they told the Devar Chai, they told the Sanzarov. So Sanzarov made fun again. He says by the Chassidim of our days, he says by the Baal Shem Tov, by the Chayzer, this would have been a joke. By the Heitiger, by these Chassidim, this is a big deal. He used to be able to speak, and then he had a problem that was in the way, and I helped remove the problem. I didn't make him speak. He was able once to speak. He just had something in the way. But the new Chassidim, they get so excited when they see something like this. So then what happened was that quite a few years later, on a Friday night, when he was coming back from the Beis Medrash, and there were many, many people that were there surrounding him, including the guests that ran over. So that person, this was many years later, came over and he says, "I am the Iluf Mistrik." He came over to the Sanzarov and says, "I am the one who couldn't speak, the one from Mistrik." So and everybody heard this. So then the Devar Chaim said, he says, "Atem adabek vayoyisimidai." Now you talk too much. That's what he said. Now you should stop talking. You talk too much. He didn't want that everybody should hear it. So he says, "Now you're already talking too much." It's also told that when the Devar Chaim Friday night by the table and Shabbos morning, he would make the bracha on 12 chalas, like is the custom of many tzaddikim. He would make a maitzi on 12 chalas, and the Devar Chaim ate for himself just the right shear, and the rest of the 12 chalas, there was literally a mob scene to get a piece of the challah, which he didn't give out on Shabbos. He didn't give it out on Shabbos. He would give it out Motzei Shabbos, the rest of the challah. He gave shirayim from food. But the challahs, he says, that's for Motzei Shabbos. And this was, every Motzei Shabbos, there was a mob scene, because there were all kinds of nisim and the flows, unbelievable miracles that are told. The V'chaim used to put a handkerchief over the challah, and he would daven or something, and then he would give out a piece to different people. And the people coming to travel weeks and weeks and weeks to be in Sanz, to be able to get a piece of the challah on a Motzei Shabbos. There was one of the people that had come once on a Friday night was somebody who had been seriously ill, and when he finally recuperated, he came out of the sickness, he couldn't remember anything. He had complete and total amnesia. He didn't remember who he was, what he was, he didn't know anything. And the people brought him to the Sanzarov. They brought him to the Sanzarov to try to get a piece of challah, and there was a lot of pushing and shoving, and he didn't know what he was doing, this guy, and they pushed him over there. So Sanzarov gave him a piece of challah, and then Sanzarov told him, "You don't remember anything," and then he remembered everything. It all came back to him even before he ate the challah, that he was able to remember everything. There was another meister that's told that the Rav, the Mechaber of the Sefer, said that he already heard from the Zakenim in Yerushalayim, that there's a story that's known to the old Jews of Yerushalayim, that they said that there was living in the old city of Yerushalayim a man who was a blind man, and nevertheless, even though he was completely and totally blind, he would sit in Beis Medrash with looking in Svar. He was totally blind and he was looking in Svar. And he says that he knows this. He heard this from the old people of Yerushalayim who knew this old man, that he was blind, but he was learning Svarim. He would sit with Svarim in front of him. So the story with that person, when they asked the old man, so he said that when he was a child, he had a terrible sickness with his eyes, and the doctors determined they would have to have an operation. So he said that his mother brought him to the Sanzarov to daven, and the Sanzarov said that you don't need any operation because it's not necessary to see. There's not supposed to see. The world is not so good to look at. So don't get an operation. You don't have to see. So you'll be blind. So the mother. So he said, my mother started to cry. Well, what about learning? What about learning? He needs to learn. So Sanzarov said, yeah, you'll be able things that are of kedusha, davening and learning. He'll be able to see. And this was something that was known throughout Eretz Yisrael, that this Jew was able to, couldn't walk, couldn't go anywhere, he was totally, totally blind his entire life. But any time he sat down with a sefer, he was able to learn. He was able to learn. Now here, we're going to come to something very unusual about, that we don't see by other tzaddikim, in the way that he would perform. There are many mysterious things about the Devar Chaim. This is probably the most mysterious thing. The Devar Chaim, when he was giving brachas, we have some stories from the Kotzke like this, but from the Devar Chaim, this was also done all the time. There were people who come to him for brachas, and when they came for brachas, the Sanzarov would scream and yell at them. He would yell at them. Instead of giving them a bracha, he would say all kinds of things and screaming and yelling. And then the person would have a yeshua. It was considered to be a very great honor to be screamed and to be yelled at. But even greater than that, when it was a particularly difficult situation, and these are things that were happening very often, it's brought down from this Rebbe Fall, who was as close as Shamus, but it's brought down in many, many svarim. This was seen by thousands of people, that the sons of Rav, when someone came to him and had all kinds of sorrows, so sons of Rav would tell him to come to him, and sons of Rav would give him a whack across the head. But not just a little patch, but give him a whack across the head. Even as an old man, he would do this. And the people that had the whack over the head would have the biggest, most miraculous yeshua. And he never explained why, but his famous son, the Tzadik of Chazkila Shiniva, the Divrei Cheskel, said that when somebody asked him, there was a Rav that was there who saw this. You know, it wasn't a Chassidish Rav. Everybody came to Divrei Chaim to talk to him, learning, even though not the Chassid. And there was somebody that was there was a Rav who wasn't a Chassid. Can you imagine? He saw such a thing that a poor person comes there crying that he needs help, he doesn't have any money, and the son sort of says, and he gives him a punch across the head. So this Rav was very upset, and he says, Mehecha Tesa, where does he say that a Jew can lift his hand up to another Jew to give a clap? So the Divrei Cheskel said that sometimes when his father would see that there were dinim that were so strong against the person, when there were very, very strong negative energy, negative kaychas that were attached to the person, very destructive energy, so then the only way the Divrei Chaim was able to be mamtik the din, to make him pater from the din, to exempt him from the din, was that the tzaddik would give him a smack. And this is something that we have many, many stories about how people were trying in many ways. Let me tell you one story, how people were trying to get smacked. And there weren't always masliach. So it happened once. There was a certain couple that they didn't have children for many, many years, and they told him that the only way the other tzaddikim, they went to tzaddikim where they lived, and the tzaddikim says, listen, we can't help you. You need to get a smack from the Divrei Chaim. That's the only thing that could help you. We can't get you a yeshua. So they went to the Divrei Chaim. And what happened is that he was following the Divrei Chaim around for days. He was asking for a bracha, give me a bracha. The Divrei Chaim said, you should be well, you should have children. But he didn't give him a smack. And then he literally began to harass the Divrei Chaim, that he was holding on to his coat, trying to annoy him, trying to get the Rebbe upset. But each and every time, the Divrei Chaim was in the sweetest, softest way, would say, what did I ever do to you? What are you coming here? Leave me alone. What do you want from my life? I said you should be well. You should have children. What do you want from me? He was told he has to get patched. So even though supposedly he was a big bulvan, he was a strong guy, and even though Chassidim were trying to push him away, this guy was following the Rebbe to his house, was standing by the door, would start bothering him and coming after him. And the Rebbe didn't say a bad word. He was a tzaddik. He says, no, leave me. What do you want from me? So finally, it was Friday night. He wasn't invited to the table this year, but he pushed himself to be right next to the sons of Rav by the tish. And over there, every time the sons of Rav starts saying Torah, he starts to make noises and snore. He starts to interrupt. He's doing all kinds of crazy things. The chassidim want to tear him apart. But he's a tough guy. He's not going anywhere. And he's annoying the Rebbe. And the Rebbe went as he would do Friday night, that was very common. He went into a very deep state of dveikus, with his eyes closed for a long time, and he was sitting there. And all of a sudden, the sons of Rav, with his eyes closed, he turned around to give this guy a huge, to give him, this is like waiting for 2 weeks, to give him a real good one. And the chos, this guy, this fellow, in the spur of the moment, he was ducked. He ducked. You know, when you see someone swing, he wasn't here for 2 weeks. All he's trying to do is to get a patch. And then the sons of Rav was like this, and he's probably traveling to who knows where to help this guy. And then the sons of Rav gives him a and the guy ducks. And after that, so then he realized, he goes, you know, he realized it happened. And then the sons of Rav turned to me and says, you should know that I was going to do you a tayyuf, that you were going to have not one but many children, and there's nothing I can do to help you anymore. It's for foul. So it's a ma'aseh shayit. So there's nothing. I can't help you anymore. So that's the end of that story. I mean, so he missed out on the patch. It was something he was working hard to get. There was a maisa that happened, that somebody came to the Rebbe, came to the Divrei Chaim with a kvittel, with a note, and on the kvittel it said that the terrible thing happened, that his sister-in-law had been killed, and there are accusations that are made by the government, and he knows some details about how, a total lie. He was a wealthy person. They wanted to get him in trouble. That his sister-in-law was killed, and the government was trying to make trouble. That he's a suspect. That he knows something about the crime. So he came there with a kvittel, and he wrote to the Rebbe a kvittel. On the kvittel, he said that they already put him into jail for a couple of weeks, and they let him out until the trial. And now the trial is set for such and such day. And he wrote on the kvittel the whole ma'aser, and that the Rebbe should daven for him. So the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav, read the kvittel. And he asked the man, tell me again, Baal Peh, tell me yourself, what exactly are you asking for? What is this? And he went over the entire thing that's written in the kvittel. And then the Divrei Chaim hobbled over, and he couldn't really walk. The Divrei Chaim hobbled over to this person and gave him mamish between the eyes, a punch between the eyes. And then the Divrei Chaim starts, he gave him a smack between the eyes, and he said, here you come and tell me that a nefesh mi Yisrael, that a Jewish woman was killed, and all you're worried about, is your trial. A Jew was killed, and you're crying about a trial. And he gave him a second punch. He gave him a second smack. So he went from there, and he had not only did all this had to do with dinim, even though he was always the softest, he was the sweetest and gentlest man. But Davka, when it came to difficult cases with the brachas, he would yell and he would give a smack. There's a story from his mechutin, Reb Leizer Jikover, this famous mechutin who was the son of the Rapshitzer. So there's a meisa from Reb Leizer Jikover. That one time, the Jikiva sent a letter to his mechutin. He sent a letter to the Vichaim asking him to daven because there was somebody in his city in Jikiv who was starting up with the Jikiva to try to get also charges against him because this was a wealthy person who was angry with the Jikiva because the Jikiva was the head of the Bezdin who ruled against him. So this rich guy, wanted to get the Jikiva now to take revenge, and he wanted to get the Jikiva in trouble with the government. So the Jikiva sent a letter to his mechutin. He sent a letter to the Divrei Chaim asking him to daven. And the Divrei Chaim wrote back, and he said, nothing is going to happen to you. And he wrote reassuring him, everything will be okay. And then after he signed his name on the bottom of the letter, after Rabbi Chaim signed his name, he added that it seems to me that person who mastered is not going to bother you anymore. That one who informed on you is not going to bother you. When Reb Leizer Jikover received the letter, he was very, very happy. And nevertheless, the family was still very concerned about that powerful, rich fellow who was angry with the Jikover. And within 2 days after he received the letter, it turns out that fellow had a heart attack and he died. So the Jikover wrote back to Divrei Chaim that it was mamish a miracle, an open revealed miracle. But he wrote that you don't have to worry about that this fellow is already not going to bother you. So he said it. So the Divrei Chaim said, "I'll tell you the truth. I wrote the entire letter, and I was very worried about that. I was very, very worried, and I had a lot of tsar, a lot of aggravation with your situation. But when I signed, after I signed my name, I felt something changed very dramatically, and it seemed to me that the problem that you had was going to disappear. It wasn't like I saw it or I knew it. But that's what the Divrei Chaim said. There was once a case where there was a certain woman that came from Poland, and there was a pirate, there was a landowner, an anti-Semite, a non-Jewish landowner, who had taken away her business. She was a widow, and she had a business in that place that was subleased. You know, Jews were not allowed to own land over there, but it was sort of, there was an arrangement made with the pirates with the landowner, and she worked on a piece of land, and she had some business there, and the pirates decided to take it away. And this was in a village that was next, that was near Lodz. So the woman came to the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim gave her bracha, everything should work out. But she wasn't satisfied with the bracha. She didn't feel that it was enough, and she wanted more. She wanted the Rebbe to say specifically what's going to be and so on. So now the Divrei Chaim was quiet for a while, and then he told her to go to a city that's called Lansk, that was next to Sanz. And there, there's a very fine Jew, Talmud Chacham, who is also a wealthy businessman by the name of Rabbi Shimon Yoyev, and go to Rabbi Shimon Yoyev with this letter from me, and everything will be okay. So she goes to this town, Lansk, with a letter. She comes to Rabbi Shimon Yoyev, who is a big chassid of the Sanz Rav, and he doesn't have any idea, like, why is it that, he doesn't know, he doesn't say anything, he doesn't know why the Rebbe sent her to him. But he figured that the Divrei Chaim sent her to him, then something, you know, they're nowhere near Lodz, it's not anywhere near Lodz, and how could he help? But he said, okay, stay here. So him and his wife and the family, they put this woman up, and she stayed there. And she was there for a couple of days. And it once happened, so after a few days, it was a terrible, terrible rainstorm. And it was in the middle of the night, there's banging on the door. And this Talmud Chacham, Reb Shimon Yoyev, he comes to the door. And there was a certain non-Jew that was sitting there totally, totally drenched and shaking from the cold. And Reb Shimon Yoyev was a very nice man. And he's not Jewish, but he's a man that was caught in the storm. And he told him, please come in. And he gave him clothing, and he made it from a fire, and he gave him to eat. It was Mamish, it was Machiah, the person. And the man was very, very grateful. And you know the end of the story. So he asked, so Reb Shimon Yoyev asked, they're talking, where do you live? So he says, I live next to Lodz. I'm a parish, I'm next to Lodz. And what do you do there? Turns out, he's the head of the whole district, with all the laws. I mean, he's like the governor of the entire district. So Reb Shimon Yoyev says, here it is. So he says, you know, there's a woman that was thrown out by the pirates in your area. Could you please, I don't want any personal favor, just help this poor woman out. She's a widow with children. Help her out. If you could cancel that decree. And he says, well, there's Simcha Gedolah B'Kavod Gadol. And he changed, you know, he canceled the decree. These are mice and these are examples, but these were things that were taking place in the thousands, stories in the thousands. Swarm and swarm that are filled with things like this. People that saw mice. I don't know if I told you the mice that I have a chaver of mine. There's a mice that I heard from someone who had a yeshul from the Divrei Chaim from his family. I told this in shul for sure, but I don't know if I told you in these talks about the Divrei Chaim. Yeah, I told it. In shul, but I didn't tell it during the shiur of the Divrei Chaim. So there's a fellow I used to learn with. He himself was he learned brisk, and but he was a descendant on one side from the Bnei Soscha, I remember. He was a very fine fellow. So it was a Hanukkah time. You know, all the Bnei Soscha's grandchildren get excited at Hanukkah time. So even though he was a real brisker, but he was telling over some meisim. So this fellow, this chavrus of mine, brought in an old dirty bottle. So what is this? So he said that there's a maisa from Divrei Chaim, from Sanz Rav. What was the maisa? So he said that his great-great-great-grandfather, whatever, a couple of greats over there, grandfather, was had come down with a serious ulcer, terrible ulcer problem. In those days, people died from that all the time. And he was very, very sick. And he himself wasn't going to Rebbe's, but the wife, he says, my great grandmother was a big believer in tzaddikim, and she begged him to go to Sanz Rav. So they brought him, because he was almost dead, they brought him to Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim said to go home and to drink a bottle of vinegar, to have some vinegar. Now, you don't have to be a professor to know that that's the worst thing in the world you could do for an ulcer is to drink a bottle of vinegar. But they believed in the Divrei Chaim, and they went and they had, and he went and he had, the, he drank the vinegar, and he completely told the Yeshua. A few years later, this man's, he says, this brother, this person's great, 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 whatever, the uncle, the brother, man's brother, so my great, great father's brother, also had a mice with a bleeding ulcer. And his brother, my great, great father, gave him right away, drink some vinegar. The guy, I thought, is going to drop dead in a minute, you know, from he has a bottle of vinegar. So they start to cry to bring him to the Divrei Chaim. They take him to the Sanz Rav, and they come to the Sanz Rav. Sanz Rav says, what's with you? You're almost dead. So he said that, I had an ulcer. I have a bleeding ulcer. The Divrei Chaim says, what did you do? He says, I drank a bottle of vinegar. So the Divrei Chaim says, Mr. Meshiga, are you out of your mind? Don't you know that kills somebody with an ulcer? What are you drinking, vinegar? So they're starting to cry. He says, Rabbi, what should I do? So the Divrei Chaim says, go home and have some vinegar. Go and have some vinegar. And he says, and he went and he had a complete Yeshua. And he says, this is the bottle that we saved in the Mishpacha. But the Tzaddik said, Shoy, do you think there's a match? Do you think vinegar cures? It's because the Tzaddik says, gives a bracha, made a moifus like that. It's not because there's some, it kills a person with it. But it was a bracha that Tzaddik, that was chal. So that's something that I remember, that was in his family from Divrei Chaim, that they had a mice from Divrei Chaim. there was one of the great Hasidim of the Divrei Chaim was Rabbi Yehuda Schwartz, was from the city Beregszaz in Hungary, and he was very, very sick, and he was in the hospital in Vienna. At that time, was the greatest doctors in Europe were in Vienna, and the only hope that he had was that Hashem should send him a refuah through the tzaddik, through his Rebbe, the Divrei Chaim. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, when he's lying there in pain, this tzaddik, and he's almost dead. So all of a sudden, the head physician, the top doctor in all of Vienna, comes rushing into his room, very, very excited. And he comes rushing into the hospital. He says, "There's a rabbi from Hungary in this hospital. There's a Hungarian Rav." So in the middle of the night, so they took him to his room. And he comes there into the room, and his doctor spent hours, but this was the top guy in Vienna, spent hours working and hurrying over him to save, and he helped him out. And everybody was very, the nurses, people came there, they didn't understand what was with this, how did he come in there, where's the Rav from Hungary, in the middle of the night. So he said that night when he went to sleep, somebody came to him in a dream. With a white beard, a very important looking person came to him and told him that there's a Hungarian rabbi in that hospital, and you have to go help him. So he says, "I woke up, it's ridiculous, what am I seeing, rabbis in my dreams?" But he said he had the same dream three times, and he saw that something must be going on, and he came to the hospital, and sure enough, that Rav Schwartz was there. And then Rav Schwartz asked him, "Tell me, did you see just the face, or did you see how, tell me, describe to him how he looked," and it was the Divrei Chaim. He's probably described that he had a leg that was short and he was bent over and how he looked. And he says that was a Divrei Chaim that came in a dream. When Schwartz felt better, so he came there, he didn't say anything, he came to Sanz, he went into the tzaddik, and the tzaddik says, "No, did you like my doctor that I sent you? It was a good, he did a good job." So, I don't know, we could go on for, we might as well go on for a couple more hours. I'll tell just maybe another story, and then we'll have to talk about the Histalkus, the death of the Sanzerov. That itself is a lot to talk about. We don't have much time right now, but the Divrei Chaim, like many of the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, had a great impact upon Jews who were not religious in his own way. He would meet with, and he would have discussions with, and debates with maskilim, with Jews who were considered enlightened Jews, meaning they were secular Jews. And very often these meetings would take place when the tzaddikim would go for to different spas for health purposes. Where they lived in Galicia, they were surrounded by Hasidim. But when they would go to these places in Czechoslovakia, and Hungary, and Germany, these were inns or spas, health resorts. Right, like Mary, that was the most famous. So they would go there, and they would meet different kinds of Yidden. It was a wonderful thing, because a lot of times you had the Lipschitz Gedolim, they met the rabbis there in these places. There were a lot of wonderful meetings that would go on. It happened that when he was once at one of these, he was at one of these resorts, and he Friday night the rabbi was having a tish. He was making a tish, and there were chassidim that came to stay with him there, and there were two German Jews, misnagdim, that came davka for the purpose of making fun. The whole reason they came was to laugh and to ridicule, and they stood there mamish by the table, and making fun of the Rebbe, making fun of the Chassidim, and the Sanzerov indicated to the Chassidim not to say anything, just to ignore them. Anyway, after they washed, and then they were sitting down by the tish, so those two guys were just sitting there. So the Divrei Chaim made a bracha, and he was giving out food. And he made a simon to those two German Jews to come. You could have some of the. So one of them started, one of them made fun, but the other one, all of a sudden, and the other one took both his piece of food, and he took the other German Jew's piece of food. The other one didn't want, and he took both pieces. And what happened is that from that day on, after that fellow ate the shiraim of the Divrei Chaim, he couldn't eat anything non-kosher. He went to his house, and anything he put in his mouth, he would throw up. He went to a restaurant, he would throw up. He couldn't eat not kosher. and they didn't know what to do. And when they gave him vegetables, fruit, vegetables, he was able to eat. When they gave him anything that was okay, he was able to eat. Any tarifas they gave him, the guy threw up. And he was getting sick. And they didn't know what to do. And his family, they were not believers, they were not religious. He said he thinks it has to do with what... The other guy was fine. He's eating tarifas. He's not fine. But the other guy's feeling physically okay. And he can't eat a piece of... He can't eat a piece of chaz of this guy. So the wife got nervous, and they went to the Divrei Chaim, and she started to scream at the Divrei Chaim. You made my husband crazy. You made him sick. And ever since you gave him a piece of fish, he can't eat anything else, and he gets sick. And what's going to be with him? So the Divrei Chaim said to her, I ruined your husband's stomach. You're the one that's cooking for him tarfas. You're the one that's feeding him chazer every day, and you think that I'm the one that he says you will see. That if you go right now and kasha the house, I'll send one of the chassidim to go and kasha your house, and you accept upon yourselves to eat only kosher, you'll see that not only did I not hurt him, but he's going to live a long and healthy life together with the whole family. And v'kach hava. And that's what happened. Because the Divrei Chaim saw that this guy, Taka, did have a little bit of belief. The other guy that was with him, his buddy, was a total scoffer. And but this one, the Divrei Chaim saw that he had something in him, that he was looking to believe. And that's why the Divrei Chaim saw that there was a Pesach, that there was an opening, that there should be a Yeshua. Let's just talk for the next 10 minutes about the death of the Tzaddik. This Talkus here, there's mamash to talk for a couple of weeks, just on the Talkus of the Divrei Chaim. The stories that we have, and I shouldn't say story. There's a moment by moment account from his Shamus, this Rebbe Foyle, Simit Barn. In the Sefer Divrei Chaim, where Rebbe Foyle did not leave his side for a minute. So this is not something that's, you know, this is something about this. Rebbe Foyle was with him the entire time. Beginning with the year 1875, at the end of Chanukah, the Divrei Chaim already at that time began to give hints to the fact that his end was coming up, that there wasn't much time left. And he asked at that time that this Rebbe Foyle should stay by him every night. This itself was a miracle. When Rebbe Foyle came to Shamus, the Divrei Chaim said, I want you to be with me every night for the entire night, to stay next to me, not to go to sleep. So I want you to promise me. So Rebbe Foyle says, How could a human being promise that? How could I promise I won't fall asleep? So Divrei Chaim says, if you promise to be here with me, I promise you won't fall asleep. And this person, he was up all day. He wasn't sleeping during the day. This Rebbe Foyle said that he spent those last few weeks, he did not sleep one night. He sat in a chair saying tefillin, and he didn't feel the slightest bit tired. He sat through, and he said during the day he had a short nap, and he went like that every single night, staying with the Divrei Chaim. That year, they saw, it was a very, very bad siman. What happened was that year, the Divrei Chaim was walking with, was holding the lulav in Esrog on Sukkos, and the lulav fell down. The lulav fell down, and it became puzzle. It hit the floor in a bad way, and it snapped. The end snapped, and the lulav became puzzle. Right away, all the chassidim came running with their lulav to give the Rebbe the lulav. But the Rebbe couldn't be consoled. He mamish was crying, and he saw this. The Divrei Chaim saw this as a very, very, very bad siman, and he said to the chassidim, "You don't remember." And it was a short time. That was that year that he was nifter. So the after he was nifter, then there was somebody that remembered that once it happened that there was some of the great tzaddikim of the generation came to visit, and they were in sons together, the Divrei Chaim, and the Rebbe wasn't there then. And this chassid was not. He remembered that those tzaddikim were talking about different tzaddikim in the generation. This tzaddik is great. This tzaddik is great. But he said, but the tallest and the most outstanding, and the one who was the tzaddik of the generation, who was the lulav of the generation, they called him, was Rabbi Chaim. He was the lulav. And the gematria of lulav is Chaim. The word lulav equals the word Chaim. And they understood that on some level the Divrei Chaim was connected to the lulav. And that, therefore, when the lulav fell and it broke, and it became puzzle, so they understood that's why the Divrei Chaim saw that as a siman, that it was going to be the end, that year was going to be the end. So he made it through that year, Sukkot, Chanukah, he made it through the Purim, when it was a week before Pesach, even though he was terribly, terribly sick. nevertheless, in terms of taking care of the matzahs and being involved with all the preparations for the yontiv, he was very, very much, he was very much involved. But when it came to the Seder, that Seder was an extraordinary Seder. For a number of reasons, I don't have time to go into it. First of all, it was the first year ever he invited that the women in the family should be able to sit at the same table, which was never allowed. The women always had a separate table, and he was always saying things, all Kabbalah, deep things, Chassidus, at the Seder. But that last year, he invited all the women, and he was saying, simply, he was teaching in Yiddish, explaining every sentence in Haggadah. He was saying what the Haggadah means in Yiddish, he was explaining. And the people, the family that was there at the Seder, understood, they felt in that there was something that the Divrei Chaim was, it was sort of his farewell. On some level, it was a sort of farewell to the mishpacha, to all the children and grandchildren, and it happens that after that Seder, that night, before the end of the Haggadah, he went to lie down, and he said that that he feels the presence of the Rebbe Hazakin, that meant the Rav Shitzer, his Rebbe. He felt the presence of his Rebbe, and they became very, very nervous. They became very nervous. And the Rebbetzin came in, they called the Rebbetzin, came in crying, came over there crying, and he began to say, he started to say that, Baruch Hashem, I was zoche today to eat the ripe shir, I ate the matzahs, I ate the mara, and he said, a short time after that, again, I don't know if it was that night, but he indicated to Rebbe Fall that everybody should leave the room, and he stayed there with Rebbe Fall, and he began to arrange, ask that his blankets and pillows and everything be arranged, and he was trying to tell something to Rebbe Fall, but he was no longer able to speak. So, and the Rebbe was trying to say something, but Rebbe Fall didn't know what to do. Finally, Rebbe Fall remembered that he had heard, that he remembered something once, that the Rebbe wasn't able to speak, and he moved his hand. So he put his hand next to the Divrei Chaim, and the Divrei Chaim took Rebbe Fall's hand and lifted up his hand to start to straighten out, to straighten out the Divrei Chaim's payas, to put the payas into the beard. At that point, Rebbe Fall started to scream, because Api Kabbalah, and it's by many tzaddikim who have seen such a thing, and that's how many tzaddikim, the last thing that they did before they died was to connect the beard with the payas, to put the payas into the beard. But that's considered to be the yichud, the final unification that takes place before the neshama leaves the body, that the man should connect the beard and the payas. And at that point, from that point on, so he ran out screaming that everybody should come, and the Chevra Kedisha came, and there was a... He was still able to live for a short while, but it was I forgot now. Right now, the yard site, the Divrei Chaim. I have to look up to remember the yard site. I just remember right now in Nisan which day it was. But the last Torah they said that the Divrei Chaim before he died, the last Torah that he said was the following. It says in the pasuk Adam ki yakriv mikem karbon. We just read it on Vayikra that if a person brings a karbon, and he said kavonas amilam Adam ki yakriv hila Adam harishon. When it says Adam ki yakriv, it means it's talking about Adam Arishan, Adam, that when he sinned. Then he added on, it said, Adam Arishan chata. He said, not only did Adam Arishan sin, elagam anachnu chatanu. He says, we have also sinned. Because all the neshamas were included in Adam Arishan. Therefore, the Torah says that the tikkun is, yakriv mikem karban, shenakriv atzmenu, that we should offer ourselves up as a sacrifice, as an offering to the Baruch Shleilam, and that was the last time he said before he died, that he himself, with his Mesiris Nefesh, his entire life was an offering for the Jewish people. After he was Nifter, one of his greatest students was the Tzaddik Reb Shleimele from Munkach, and the father of the Minchas Lazer, and Reb Shleimele Munkach has said that he doesn't know how is it possible how the world could continue to go on. He says, how is it possible for the sun to be shining? The world is completely dark. and the Torah's love should be the almonis, and the Torah has become a widow. Is it possible that the sun should continue to shine? And there were miracles, there were nisim niflos that happened also, even with his with the body, with the burial, with the mikveh that we don't have time to go into. But it's told that they didn't even have to even pull the aron, they didn't have to even carry the casket, that it was going on its own. They were just touching it, and it was able to go on its own. And the custom is, you know, the man is not buried with the tzitzis intact, right? What you do is you passel up from his talis, you make the tzitzis passel, you cut off his string to make it passel. And they came and they asked Mechila, and they from the Divrei Chaim was dead, and they went to cut off one of the tzitzis, and there were thousands of people there. The Divrei Chaim screamed. He was dead. He gave a scream. No. And they ran away, and they just covered him up and they buried him, and he didn't want them touching the tzitzis. And that's how he went. That's how he left this world. He gave that they shouldn't touch his tzitzis, and they buried him in such a way. as far as the rest, the whole Divrei Hayomim about the greatness of Rabbi Chaim Halberstam, his children, his grandchildren, his great grandchildren to this day, for the testimony to the greatness of that person, and Mitzvah Shem in the future, we'll have time to talk about the other tzaddikim in his family that to this day have been the leaders of the Jewish people. Mitzvah Shem. So as I said, I have Simchas now coming up before Yontif. So we'll continue Monday's Pesach and the first Monday after Yontif we'll continue, and then we'll begin to learn Torah from Divrei Chaim inside the Sefer Divrei Chaim.